Today's FanLUN Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of March Madness. Bet $4 on any underdog and win $256 if they win. It's that simple. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $4 into $256 for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Fan Run Radio presents The Voluntary Reaction. You've watched the game. Now, let's talk about it. To get on board, call 865-546-8200. This is The Voluntary Reaction. Raw, unfiltered, real. The Voluntary Reaction starts now.
Hello and welcome into another edition of The Voluntary Reaction. Feels good. Tennessee defeats Florida 65-54. I'm Davey Hudson. We'll be joined momentarily by Russell W. Smith and the Bear. But Tennessee puts a bow on the 2020-2021 regular season with a victory that actually has some pretty substantial consequences whenever you're looking at seeding for the SEC tournament. This win will lock the Vols in as the fourth seed, which will give Tennessee a first-round bye in, or I guess technically a second-round bye in the SEC tournament. They do have the 12 playing the 13, which would be the first game. But, hey, for as bad as the first half was looking, Tennessee got down big, able to come back, get the victory. I mean, in the second half, you outscored Florida. Let me make sure I got it. I think Florida, you held Florida to 21 points. So to really give up 33 in the first, hold them to 21, not to mention you score 37 in the second. Really good bounce-back performance by Tennessee, and something I think a lot of Vol fans were hoping that they would get, seeing as things had not been going particularly well. We had the week off, and it looked as though it ultimately was a benefit to the team. At this time, Russell, Bear, going to bring you boys in. How are we doing today?
Doing much better now, Davey. No doubt about it. I mean, that was a frustrating first half to watch, and I think a lot of us were on the verge of throwing in the towel. It's a beautiful day out, last day of the weekend, and a chance to get out and do some things, and I'm sure a lot of people went ahead and did that. But for those of us hardy souls that stayed the course and gave it a go in the second half, we were rewarded with a vintage Tennessee basketball performance there. I mean, you hold the team to, like you said, Davey, 21 points in the second half. They shot 48% in the first half, 32% in the second half. 3 of 9 from three-point range in the first half, 0 of 4 from three-point range in the second half. It was just a complete turnaround, and that's kind of what Tennessee built its 7-0 start on, was just phenomenal defense. I know the naysayers will say that Trey Mann did not play for Florida today, and I suppose that's fair play. We can get into it a little bit, but it feels good to see Tennessee be able to put one more W up there on the board to get to 17-7 on the year. We'll see what the NCAA selection committee says about it. We get that four seed, so the Thursday bye is a super cool thing for Tennessee. Don't have to play South Carolina at 9 o'clock on Thursday night at Bridgestone. So we'll see what happens here going forward, but it was just good to see Tennessee look like they're having fun. We saw some smiles in the second half. I actually saw Eve Pond smile, I believe, for the first time this entire season. Granted, it was after the game, but you know, it gives you a chance. It gives you a little shot of hopium heading into the postseason, and we'll see if Tennessee can do something with it. You know, it's interesting, Davey. I think it was 4 weeks ago, a month ago, Tennessee beat Kansas, and Folky had the big game, 19
points against the Jayhawks, and the Fulke is back narrative went around. And I think you and I said after that game, let's pump the brakes on the Fulke is back talk until he does it in a couple of games in a row. And of course he was unable to do that. And today, 6 of 10 from the floor, 14 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Great game. Great game for John Fulkerson. Is he going to continue to do that? I don't think any of us think that Florida has an elite front court. Is he going to be able to play that way if we play against, I think if we win Friday, it looks like we would have a rematch with Alabama on Saturday in the SEC tournament. So we'll see what happens going forward, but definitely it felt good to feel good for a little bit. Bear, your thoughts. Tennessee beats the Gators by 11, 65-54 in Thompson Bowling today.
It's a tradition like no other. This was one I did not want Tennessee to give up. It's been now, since 2014, since they've beaten us here at the Tommy Bowl. Didn't want to lose that streak we had over them. They're punks. They're clowns.
Oh!
And I'm glad we came out. And I felt like we played a little bit tougher, especially in that second half. You saw the Appleby kid, you know, Fulkerson set that a good, solid, legal, clean pick to kind of pick him off and dead-legged him. Basically, you know, gave him the old Charlie horse right in the middle of his thigh.
I don't think a bearded bulldog has been hit that hard since Nick Revaez laid out Devron Young about 12 years ago in KFL action.
Oh, God, Russ.
I don't actually know if that happened, but it sounds good, so I'll go with it.
Yeah, sure, why not? But the big thing is we just look more like our what we saw, you know, what you were saying at the beginning of the year, a lot tougher. And it was nice to see today. So hopefully this is something we can build on. They've got the fourth seed locked up, I guess. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So that'll get us here, double bye.
Yeah, so check this out. So we will play Friday 25 minutes after game 6, which is Alabama taking on the winner of Kentucky and Mississippi State. That game tips off at noon
on
Friday.
This will be during the drive.
Yeah, so we're going to play around 2:30, and most likely we are going to be doing the show live at Jet's Pizza in Farragut. So that could be a lot of fun. We'll figure out how to make that work. We're going to do a show at Jet's either Thursday or Friday, depending on a couple of factors. But we will play 2:30, 3 p.m. on Friday, and there's a pretty good chance that we play this Florida team again. In a rubber match, they're the 5th seed, so they will play the winner of Vanderbilt and Texas A&M on Thursday. And assuming Florida wins that, we would play the Gators again on Friday in the SEC tournament quarterfinals. Davey, how does that strike you?
Man, I'm kind of at a loss for words on that one. It definitely strikes me. I guess that's a way to put it.
We are assuming that Trey Mann's migraine has cleared up by then.
Man, I wasn't able to actually watch any of the game. I got to the station, did not realize we did not have ESPNU, but when I was listening to the radio, no one ever mentioned that it was, and they might have, and I just missed it, but that it was a migraine as to why Trey Mann
was
out. But, that's not something that's easy to play through. I know a lot of people, thankfully, have not experienced those, but I mean, there was a genetic issue for my sister and I, but the only way we could get rid of them was to actually physically have to induce vomit. Like, that is the only way to like get the pain to stop.
Jesus.
Yeah. So I couldn't imagine having to play through one of those. Hopefully that subsides for him, but that if we do play them again, that he is not a factor.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pencil them in for the lineup. I think it's going to be a challenge, but it's a big opportunity, and it's just this team has been so maddening all season long, and we saw it all out there today, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We saw a team for large parts of the first half that looked, quite frankly, disinterested, and as I said, I'll bet there are a lot of fans that went ahead and turned it off and went on with their yard work, their Sunday routine, whatever it is they got to get done, because that was not good basketball. That was not entertaining. Our team, except for Fulkerson in the first half, looked largely disinterested. And then they turned it on, and they played okay. We saw the defense. Can we grind games like this out and have that be productive in the NCAA? Can we win games in the 60s in the NCAA tournament? But we also saw the good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, we saw it all out there today. And if Tennessee can just develop any kind of consistency, you know, we saw three guys hit 14 points today. Fulkerson, Keon, and Victor Bailey Jr. all have 14 points. Generally speaking, that's what you need come March. You need three guys scoring in double figures for you. Then everybody else has to figure out their role to play. But nobody had a superhuman effort tonight. Nobody was eye-popping, oh, my God, this dude is just taking over. It was solid team defense. We ended up winning the rebounding advantage. I think we were down significantly the half, ended up winning the rebound advantage plus nine in that department.
Well, that's just then, offensive rebounds.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that one possession where I think Pons had three offensive rebounds in a row, and we guarded. Barrett, do you think that's a formula we can win with going forward, defense and rebounding and just a solid offensive outing from two or three key guys?
I think we can. The other thing that I noticed today that they cut back on were they were a lot more careful with the ball. I don't know how many turnovers. I haven't seen the game stats. We ended up with it. At one point, Jimmy Dykes, said that, you know, they had 10. It was deep into the second half. So, you know, and that plays a big part of it. During the games where we've looked like total crap, has been when we've just, you know, fell apart and got real sloppy with the ball. And yeah. But to make a, you know, to answer your question, yeah, I really think we can. I think Victor Bailey is another key piece in it. So we definitely need his outside shooting.
Yeah. 5 of 11 from the floor today for Bailey. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to get on the voluntary reaction. Davey will greet you as you call in today. 865-546-8200, your number. It's the G3 Help Me hotlines are open this afternoon. Tennessee defeats Florida 65-54 at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. Congratulations to Danny No Nugs, notching his first victory over Kid Brother, and Tennessee improves, as I said, 17 and is it 7 or 10?
17 and 7. 10 yeah, and 7 in the SEC.
Somebody was saying that we lost 10 games. Unless I slept through three other ones. Tennessee gets the dub today. How do you feel about it? Let's talk about it as Tennessee moves forward now to postseason play. And what constitutes success this postseason? Guys, you know my feeling on the SEC tournament. I would just as soon not even show up. Go ahead and forfeit the Florida game. I don't care. It's the stupid SEC tournament. We'll never win it. I am an SEC tournament nihilist. That being said, the NCAA tournament, it's all about seeding. It's all about luck. How far do we have to go in order for you to leave this season not feeling like it was a failure?
I don't feel like it's a failure. What do we have to do in the SEC tournament?
No, in the NCAA tournament. We know what's going to happen in the SEC tournament. Bear, come on. You're with me on this. How far do we have to go in the big dance in order for us to look back on this season and say, it wasn't a failure?
Sweet 16.
That's kind of where I'm at. Davey?
I'm going to say round of 32, but it really depends on who you play and how you play. So it remains to be seen. Like, I just – the initial reaction is, like, you just have to get past the first round. February was rough. You went 500, so it feels good to finally get a win over Florida, because I said it last time we were here. I mean, it felt like that was where things really, really started to go south for this team earlier in the year, was whenever you took a 26-point beat down to them. And so the fact that you were able to, granted they didn't have Trey Mann, but come back, get a double-digit victory, makes me feel a little bit better. I'm still not very confident. I mean, it's March and Rick Barnes is our coach, so we kind of know what that might ultimately mean. But for the meantime, hey man, I'm just speaking the truth.
I thought I was pessimistic. Go ahead, Davey.
But I would love to make a Sweet 16. I mean, kind of going into the season, we thought Sweet 16 or bust, and then you kind of can see what happens there. But we've talked about it. It's all about matchups. Who are you going to draw? And so really just getting past that first round, going into the second, I kind of want to wait and see who we play, because at that point it's all about the style. Because, I mean, they're like, if we play a team that has the same style as Alabama, that is like, we're not going to take any mid-range jumpers, it's either going to be a layup or a three, I say we get beat if we find a team that's just shooting somewhat decent. I mean, tonight we were 3 of 21 from three. Was that, and like, you're not going to win many games. Like, the fact that you shot that poorly and still won, it's pretty remarkable in today's game.
Hard to argue against that. All right, guys, let's go to the phones here. Talk to the people, 865-546-8200. We'll start with TK. Hello, TK. You're on Volunteer Your Reaction.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Well, I think after seeing the ending of the game, was that the last we see of Folky?
Man, that looked like a guy who was leaving the court for the last time. Davey, I know you didn't get to see this, but he did the whole, like, I think he maybe even dropped down and kissed the court and waved to the fans and got tearful hugs and goodbyes and was visibly emotional on the sideline. I just kind of had him penciled in, kind of like, where is he? He's not going to the NBA.
No, I view him coming back. I mean, like, it's either play another year of college ball or go sell insurance. What are you going to take? Like,
well, he could go. He could find somewhere to play professionally in Europe. I don't know that he'd find a six figure a year job in France or Spain or something like that. But there are professional leagues all over the place that would love to have a 6 foot nine guy like him on their team. So I think he could do that. But for him, I wonder, first of all, he obviously is a Tennessee kid, likes playing at Tennessee. Does he feel like there's unfinished business? Does he want to go out like this? Does he think that if he can come back next year and get whatever ailed him this year taken care of, can he put together a better season that A, might put him in better position to get one of those six-figure-a-year basketball contracts in one of the better European leagues, and B, just leave a better taste in his mouth as I walked out of here playing my best basketball instead of whatever you would call this season?
He'll be back.
Yeah, I hope he's back, because something, they're never going to say what it was, but he's got some kind of Lamonte Turner injury to where something's not right this year with him.
Yeah, I mean, I keep hearing people say that, guys, but last year, Barnes, I seem to remember him speaking openly about Turner's shoulder injury, and even with Fulkerson in the past, they've talked about his wrist or his elbow or whatever ailment he's working through. And Barnes has been asked about it several times over the past month and keeps saying there's nothing wrong with him. Right? He's fine. Normal bumps and bruises in the low post in the SEC, but nothing terribly debilitating. It's just been a crisis of confidence. So we'll see. I tend to be with you, TK. I think that there has to be some reason, something that maybe we don't know about that's caused him to take this step back. But heck, man, if he can play like he did today, 6 of 10 from the field and 7 rebounds, I like our chances a lot more of making out of that first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
So do you think Danny White will let us destroy his brother? Do we need to text a buddy?
I don't know what Danny No Nugs thinks about it, but this is Voluntary Reaction. And Danny No Nugs doesn't get a say on what y'all get to say and think. So let it fly. I was hoping it looked like we might see fisticuffs, a whole, you know, full-scale brawl out there. And there's little Mikey White in his size medium polo shirt. Doesn't even have the decency to tuck his pants in. Dude, you're an SEC basketball coach. You're over there looking like a slob. You're looking like Davy Hudson showing up at 6:55 on a Monday morning, hungover and bleary-eyed, to run the board for three and pout. Come on, man. You're a millionaire.
Tucking your shirt in is overrated.
I would agree, but, I mean, he's an SEC basketball coach. He's on national television. Look at a scraggly-looking beard. I mean, he looked like a bum today. Can we call it what it is? He looked like a homeless guy.
That was a punk-ass move by that Florida player, kicking Keon while he's walking away.
What's up with that? Is that not a trip? I mean, is that not a technical foul? In what world is that not a technical foul?
You should have stomped him. I would have.
I was glad to see, if nothing else, Folky took somebody's soul, if it is his last game at TBA.
Mm. Boy, that white guy they had, Castleton, that dude, he was worse than Urush, man. That dude couldn't play dead in a Western. Oh, unbelievable. TK, anything else, my friend?
Here's my question.
Yeah.
How bad was Tennessee high school basketball for Glover to leave, lead Beard into a championship? That dude is ass.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I don't know, man. He's an okay player, but when Vescovi can D you up and you can't get by him, you know you're not exactly elite level in the quickness department. And I have to wonder if he wasn't concussed for the last 15 minutes or so of that ball game, because Folky delivered the hardest pick since C.J. Black laid out Ron Mercer in the middle of Thompson Bowling. For you old heads out there that remember that circa 1996.
I remember that.
It was every bit as brutal as that. As a matter of fact, that was worse because, like, I mean, the impact, when you saw Glover's neck snap back like that, and then Fulkerson runs down the floor and gets the bucket to add insult to injury. Folky was out there harvesting the ACLs, Bear. He took out Appleby as well. Oh, my goodness. He was out for blood.
No, I was chuckling.
The only thing that would have made it better is if he would have stared him down and dared him to get up.
What? You want to say something? You want some more punk? That's what I thought. Beautiful thing. Hey, I like it. If nothing else, just showing some toughness. I'm not going to say Folky is back because we've had this conversation before, and we'll see what he comes with next week at the SEC tournament. But, man, the body language, 110% better. No hanging the head, no moping around. It was just John Fulkerson out there flying around, running the court, getting on the floor, doing the dirty work, doing the things that made us fall in love with him, not even last year when he was putting up big numbers in the points department, but all the way back to his true freshman season. We played with a reckless abandon. If we could see that for the rest of the season, then here's the thing. Tennessee fans get a bad rap as win-at-all-costers, and I don't think we're any worse than any other fan base in that department. But what Tennessee fans can't abide by, and what you saw in the first 10 minutes, was just a lack of effort, a lack of hustle, a lack of toughness, a lack of desire, a lack of heart. And we didn't see that in the second half. You show me that from here on out, I'll be fine. I just don't want to take it into the house, end the season, knowing that, man, we got outfought out there today. If we run into a team like Bama that shoots 45% from three-point range and they just torch us, then, hey, it's whatever. But I cannot abide by just this moping around, hanging our heads, acting like we don't want to be out there crap that we saw for about 10, 12 minutes today, quite frankly. So We'll see what happens. TK, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, y'all have a good rest of the day.
You too, bud. 865-546-8200. TK drops off. That creates a line available for you. 546-8200. Guys, to me, that's what this season is all about. And I know we've had these different debates about what this team needs, what it lacks, what Barnes needs to do differently, what other teams are doing. And that's all fine. There is some truth to those things. But to me, it's not a personnel issue. We've got decent guys capable of playing point guard at a big-time level. We've got decent athletes in the post. Yeah, we'd like to have better players. Everybody would. But it's not about that to me. Nor is it about Rick Barnes's old-school philosophy, his tactics, his insistence on shooting a bunch of mid-range jumpers. Yes, that's frustrating. But we weren't bitching about these things at the end of last year when we were winning 7 out of our last 10 or in the 31-win season. To me, for me, it's all about heart. It's all about toughness. It's all about the way you play. And we talked about it this year. This team looks soft at times. This team looks soft at times. And people have challenged them, and it seems like that those challenges come public. You know, these kids see the stuff and they didn't rise to it. In fact, they shrunk from it. They didn't seem soft today. And I can live with some of the ugly basketball we see at times, some of the questionable lineup decisions that Barnes puts up there, as long as they're giving max effort. That's all I want to see at the end of the day.
I think that's all any of us have wanted to see. And, you know, I'm in a lot better mood today because I feel like today we finally saw, you know, especially out of Fulkerson, you know, something we've come to expect out of him, which is, you know, a level of toughness. What kinds of tougher breed, Russ?
Well, tougher breed, got to score the basketball. Got a lot of guys out there, haven't played much basketball, so we just want to get the ball into exciting places and get the ball to Jordy Mack. He can score the basketball. Juron, he can score the basketball. A lot of guys out there who can score the basketball. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Hands! Hands! So we need to score the basketball. Out there. Hands! Score the basketball. Come out there. You know, rebound the basketball. Defend your position. Hands! Score the basketball. Konzo Martin.
All right.
I'm sorry. I drifted off.
It was good to see Fulkerson look more like, I mean, quite frankly, he didn't look like he was from the try the past 6 to 8 weeks. Today he comes out there and he's throwing it down like he's, you know, he is from the Tri-Cities. Rough, tough, mean, ruthless. That's what we had all grown to love about him and expect from him. So I want to see another game like that in the tournament. So do we know who we're facing, or like who are the teams that we might be facing on Friday?
You might be facing
probably Florida,
Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, Florida.
We ain't facing Vanderbilt.
Florida will play the winner of Vanderbilt and Texas A&M. So whoever wins that game will be playing their second game in less than 24 hours against a well-rested Florida team who's just playing better. So, although the A&M team, guys, they're a bit of a mystery because they just haven't played many games.
They have played 10 conference games.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It seemed like we roasted them pretty good down there back in January.
They've been ate up with the COVID, haven't they?
Yeah, they had the COVID issue. I don't know if they played a game in February. But they had the COVID issue, and then that storm came through Texas, and that made them miss a game or two.
Hmm. And what time is tip on Friday for our game?
25 minutes whenever the game at noon ends.
What should we do, Bear? Let's have a little programming meeting, and Davey, you assist us on this thing. So if we're going to be playing at 3 o'clock on Friday during the drive. What – we probably should not do a show, right?
Well, I mean, if they, let's say they start at 3, and so you're saying basically we just need to plan on doing voluntary reaction at 5 o'clock. We're going to have a show at 5.
Yeah. And quite frankly, just thinking out loud here, I do have something that I might have to do Friday evening. So that,
so basically you're just wanting to take off Friday completely.
Well, I'm thinking here's what we can do, because I promised Jets a live show, and we haven't done a sports bar live show in a very long time.
Okay.
I don't remember what the last one was. And
it was Jets.
Well, no, it was Hops and Hollers back in football season. We were outside. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So should we do a show there Thursday and just do a regular show? That would kind of be during, we would be doing it during that Florida Vandy A&M game. And kind of, you know, who see who we're going to play, or should we just run Fox Sports national programming Friday afternoon? I'm sure Nate Hodges really appreciates us just thinking this out loud on the live on the app. Should we just play whatever national programming, because nobody's going to be listening to us anyway, because Tennessee's going to be playing, and just do a voluntary reaction, let John Reed and Hayden do voluntary reaction after that game? That's kind of what I'm leaning to. Go out to, and we could have a watch party out at Jets. Invite folks to come watch the game with the drive at Jets Pizza. We'll watch it down there, and then voluntary reaction afterwards.
That probably sounds like the most sensible thing. I've got a thing on Friday as well.
Friday, what do you think, Davey? Everybody's got a thing now. What do you think, Davey? Should we just should we just have a watch party or something Friday?
That wouldn't be a bad idea. I'm just trying to wrap my head around if anything else is going on this weekend, just in the grand scheme of things. But I do appreciate us actually just having this conversation on air right now. Like, that's, we're different than the others for a reason, and it's because we are very forthcoming and not afraid to let people behind the curtain. Well, most people want to act like, oh, I'm better than this. I'm a professional. Not us. Not us.
Well, I mean, I want to know what the audience thinks. I mean, should we do a show? First of all, I don't want to do a show during the game because I want to watch the game. And I feel like most of our audience probably wants to watch the game as well. I'm sure there's a handful of people that would rather just listen to us talk Tennessee football or whatever, or, you know, just goofy off-topic stuff on Friday.
Here's an idea. Here's an idea, Russell. You guys could just drink and commentate the game as it happens.
That's illegal, Davey, on a number of levels. That's a copyright violation, and I don't think you're really supposed to be drinking while you're on the public airwaves.
I did it all the time during football season.
We know that. We know that. Several meetings were had about it. I mean, not to be mean, but yeah, there were numerous group texts about, you know, your deteriorating condition last fall with the state of the football program.
Plus, that was app only, which I think anything goes. That's still kind of the wild
west.
Go
app only.
When you're on the radio at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, this isn't NOM, Davey. There are rules.
Go app only. It's not that hard. We're app only right now.
Are you drinking right now, Davey?
I'm not drinking right now.
Let's go to the phones. What do you think? Tennessee beats Florida today. Your thoughts moving forward. What are your hopes, dreams, and aspirations for this basketball team? And what should the drive do on Friday? Should we do a show, or can we get away with taking a little time off? Let's go get Westchester in here. Westchester, you're on voluntary reaction. Go ahead.
Fuck Florida.
Yeah.
Guys, do you guys have the technology to split the stream? Can you do Fox on the national on the airwaves and then still do app only?
Yes, that's what we're doing right now.
Oh, obviously, yeah. Tough. We'll do that Friday. Go find one of your sponsors that has an outdoor watering hole or a porch and just do a live app only remote while watching the game. You're not broadcasting the game, you're just watching it.
Yeah, as long as the audio doesn't show up, I don't see the problem.
Are people going to listen to that?
I mean,
hell yeah, we listen to your halftime Periscope, don't we?
Good point.
I was going to say, a lot of people tune in just to watch me. Granted, the product on the field wasn't actually worth tuning into, so I kind of stole a lot of that audience.
What?
Actually, the 37, at least 35 of us will be down there at wherever you're going to have the game at. Then the other two can listen at work on the app on the earbuds.
You have to be careful, though, in these situations because, as we all know, any reproduction, unauthorized redistribution of this game without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is threatenable by fines and up to a year in jail. The last thing I need is some Fed, some agent kicking in the door, dragging me and Bear out of the fan-run studios in handcuffs, throwing us in jail, because I know you cheapskates aren't going to raise our bail, Westchester.
Oh, I'd raise yours. Sorry, Bear.
Honestly, you know,
do the same thing, though, so.
Been happier in jail at some points in my life.
Wow.
Who's going to kill us on Friday? Do we know yet the winner of who?
God, is nobody paying attention to that? Bear didn't pay attention to the initial offering. We just talked about this 2 minutes ago, Westchester, for the second time.
I was trying to call in at the time, but Dave was making a beer run instead of answering the phone, so I didn't hear.
Davey.
Lashing out wildly now.
It's actually White Claw. I support the sponsors.
Florida, most likely playing Florida again, Westchester.
Oh, yikes. Rubber match, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, man. I mean, it's going to be a blood match.
That game's on ESPN. How mad are you all going to be if we get Dickie V? If we get Dickie V, you might as well just commentate it yourself because no one's going to listen to the actual game.
If we get Dickie V and you're not doing a live broadcast at a bar, you're letting your fans down, all 37 of us. You know that. We'd rather listen to you. We don't want play-by-play.
Will you come to Jets for the game Friday?
What time is it?
25 minutes after the game 6 ends.
Westchester.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Are you drunk right now?
No, I just got out of work. I'm only on beer number one, so I'm at that rough transition of getting out of work and trying to function as a normal person. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be wherever y'all are on. Y'all are on Friday. I'll go to Hops. I'll go to any of the properties I swore I'd never go to again. I'll go to Jets. I'll go wherever y'all are Friday.
Feeling pressure now. Feeling pressure to work, you assholes. Why can't you just let us goof off and have a 3-day weekend?
That's what we want you to do. We want you to goof off with us and have a good time.
We're not fan out or get blitzed or talk sports. We don't not even talk sports. There are Iron Men like us. We don't take days off. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Houston Crest. I'm looking at you, buddy.
So I know this is a stupid question, but, you know, you expect nothing less. So basketball got their free year last year, and the seniors this year are done, right? This was a true senior day, and they're not getting any eligibility back.
No, they can all come back. Anasicki, they've already said that Anasicki's coming back next year.
Okay.
And Folky and Pons can come back. It doesn't sound like there's much hope of Pons coming back. Folky kind of up in the air, although as we talked about earlier, he definitely had the look of a guy who had played his last game at Thompson Bowling on the way out. So we'll see what happens.
I listened to him interviewed on another station on that long drive home I have from work, and he didn't sound like a player that was coming back. He was really emotional about it being his last game, and he doesn't sound like he's planning on coming back. So
wow.
I don't know. But anyway, I'll get out of here and let someone else jump on. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Westchester. Appreciate it. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump in on the Voluntary Reaction Sunday afternoon edition. Tennessee defeats Florida today. Vols finish 17-7 overall, 10-7 in league play, and they'll have the 4 seed, so they do get the double bye. We finish behind Alabama, Arkansas, and LSU, fourth best record in the league. I don't know what to make of that. It's disappointing. It's not terribly disappointing. You get that double bye. It's not like we were in what has become a decent basketball league, a pretty darn good basketball league, I will say. The SEC has been pretty darn good for about 5 years now.
Yeah.
We were one of the four best teams.
I don't know. If I'm comparing the SEC, though, to the other Power 5 conferences right now, I would maybe say the only Power 5 conference the SEC is better than is the Pac-12. The ACC, Big 10, and Big 12 are all much better this year.
The ACC?
Not much, but it's still better than the SEC.
Are you serious? I know that their top teams might be, but, your Duke boys look like hot garbage right now.
They're not good, but
it took like a 20-something point beatdown from the Tar Heels, didn't it?
Okay, so I think we would all agree the SEC has two really good teams right now, Alabama and Arkansas, right? Nobody wants to play those teams. LSU and Tennessee aren't scaring much anybody, and then everybody else finished behind us. Who are the teams, the ACC, that that you just don't want to see? Virginia, Florida State?
Florida State.
I mean, it's very similar, isn't it? I don't know that.
I think the SEC is better than the ACC this year.
I don't know that either league covered itself in glory. I will say that for sure. But the Big 12 was very solid. I just don't watch a lot of Pac-12 hoops
the Big 10's far and away the
Big
best.
10 was very yes.
You know,
Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin.
Although Iowa, it looks like they had a big injury today. It's a kid's name. I just saw that. One of their best players went down.
Was it Garza? Or somebody else? Because, Luca Garza, prior to the season, was considered the best player coming in. I haven't been keeping up with what other action has happened around college basketball today. Russ, you were given the rundown on Tennessee winning. I would also like to add that the New York Islanders beat the Buffalo Sabres 5-2. So that's what I was watching.
Well done. I finally watched. I know I'm only 17 years late on this one, I believe, but I finally watched Miracle with Kurt Russell as Herb Brooks last night. Me and the young boy watched that late into the evening. It was all right.
Great movie.
It was all right. I don't know if it's great. It was all right.
I like it more than Hoosiers.
You like Miracle more than Hoosiers?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I really am doing the show with a couple of just complete buffoons.
That doesn't mean I don't like Hoosiers. I'm not Bear. I don't think it's a bad movie. I'm just having to compare.
Hoosiers is a garbage movie.
We've been over this. We know, Bear. You don't have to tell us every time we bring it up.
Miracle is probably the greatest sports event happening of my entire life.
I do want to say,
than the 98 national championship team.
On the ride in, Bob and Bert were talking about how I think it was Danny White and Mike White, before they would have a game, they would always watch Hoosiers every single day before a game when they were growing up.
That doesn't make me like them more. It makes me think that they're both goofs. Idiots.
Who?
That'd be a good poll question you could put out one day, Russell. Which movie is better, Hoosiers or Miracle?
Fucking Miracle is, dude.
I think a
me?
Lot of people would say Miracle just because Hoosiers is an old movie now. But in my opinion, it's not even close. Hoosiers is, Hoosiers transcends. Miracle is a good sports movie, but to me, Hoosiers. Yeah, it's about basketball, but it kind of transcends the sports genre to me.
Give me a fucking break. God, you're a sheep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an outlandish take. Not many people like Hoosiers.
You're just a sheep. Along with all the other sheep.
Don't give me that, you fraud. Talking about the Miracle on Ice as if it's some great defining moment of you can't name me three players off the 1980 men's hockey team.
Go. Rizzioni, Craig. Oh, God.
You fraud.
Hey,
you're a fake. Shut the hell up, Russ.
A fake, a phony, and a fraud. Years old
and done a lot of things since then that have affected my short-term, my long-term, and short-term memory.
IMDb ranks both movies at a 7.5 out of 10. They both IMDb have the same ranking.
No, Miracles is a 9 out of 10.
On Google users, 82% like Miracle. Hoosiers was at 84%. They're both right around there.
You'd rather you get more jacked up about some fake ass movie about a bunch of white kids with saggy tube socks rather than, you know, when the United States a bunch of U.S. College kids.
We beat the goddamn Russians, all right?
Yeah,
we took the Soviets down.
Soviet Union.
I don't know why you had to bring race into it, you bigot.
Who?
You.
Nobody cares about any damn Indiana high school basketball, dude. It was fake. It's a damn movie. Talking about a group that, you know, really pumped this country up during some of our darkest times. Man, I realize you were crapping your pants over there. Yeah, you were what, like, were you even born?
Yeah, I know this might come to a shock as you as well, Bear, but I wasn't alive when the Hoosiers team won either.
Well, is Hoosiers is fictitious, correct?
It's based on a true story. But,
Based on. Yeah. Okay.
So you only like movies that are completely authentic, true to whatever story they're trying to tell. No fiction movies.
I didn't say that. When you're talking about greatest sports movie ever, I'm going to go with Miracle. A couple other players off that team, Bob Suter, Mark Snyder.
Bears figured out how to work the old Google machine.
I am not Googling.
No.
If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm not Googling at all right now.
Sure. Let's go to the phones. Brad in Nashville is next. What's up, Brad?
I just wanted to let you know, in the movie Miracle, there's one name that matters on their jersey. That's USA on the front.
USA! The USA! USA!
Again!
And Bear Hoosiers is an awesome damn movie. You need to watch it. I don't know what this bias is you have against a classic American movie, but that's what it is, man. It's the hero's journey, and it's personified in that game, in that movie. It's fantastic.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you.
You're both wrong. But as far as the game goes, we were just hanging out at the court in the first half. And in the second half, we showed what this team's capable of and leaned on them and had at some point some kind of 30-10 run over the course of 10 or 15 minutes and just put it away. And that's a team that we haven't seen in a while. And that's what's so frustrating about them. Russell, you talked about it, man. It's just you can't. They're untrustworthy. You can't rely on them. And at any point, they're going to show their ass and lose to Ole Miss, or they're going to show up and beat Kansas. It's stupid how inconsistent these kids are. And it doesn't speak to success in the postseason, but the ability's there. The capacity's there, and they can do it. It's, I don't know. There's no telling what's going to happen. I just don't see them hanging banners until they're playing in the second weekend or playing on Saturday. Then we'll see.
Yeah, I feel you. It's hard to it's hard to buy in. I think I think the fan base is happy today. I think they're glad beating Florida never gets old. It was heartwarming to see John Fulkerson kind of dial it back and turn back the page and show us what he can do out there. But I don't think anybody is smacking their chest and saying, we're back. And here we go, and we're set to go on a run. They're going to have to show that they can do it. And it's funny, man. I don't know about this draw because we're going to have to play this Florida team again, most likely on Friday. And then if we win that game, we're playing Alabama. again.
Yeah.
That might be a harder draw than whatever we find in the NCAA tournament.
Well, the opportunity is right in front of us, brother. We have an opportunity to excise both the demons that we acquired during this season with getting blasted by Florida and getting absolutely torched by Alabama and just not being in either of those games early on. And my reaction after both of them was, well, shit, I guess we're not as good as I thought we were. So we managed to beat Florida today without their best player, and that's good, I guess. But we really have those two challenges sitting in front of us, and if these kids want to be what was expected of them at the beginning of the season and what the fan base expects of them, then they need to step up and answer those challenges. So I guess we'll see here in a week or so, but I don't know. I'm not confident. That's not a word even close to how I'm feeling going into that. It's just kind of a, well, kind of like next football season, man. I guess we'll see.
Hey, Brad. I think you'll find that the rims in Bridgestone are 10 feet tall, just like our rims back in our little gym in Knoxville.
You'd think so, man. You'd think so, but that's what the SEC tournament is. And it seems like they're about 2 inches smaller in diameter and about 3 feet higher every time we try to play there. But I don't know. Well, you still gotta play the games, and that's why they play them. We'll have a good shot against Florida. I think I'd say like 60-40, 65-35 in that one, and then we'll play against a modern coach with a superior style of coaching. Not superior, but just more inconsistent with the modern form of the game. And to be honest, more consistent with the type of players we have. And we'll see if we can beat them old school. So I guess that's where we got to see play out. But love you guys, and I'll hit you up after that shit too. Later.
Thank you, Brad. I don't know if Brad got my Hoosiers reference there. We have to put Urosh on Vescovi's shoulders to measure the rim at Bridgestone to see if it is in fact as a full regulation.
You said that
10
wrong.
Feet. Did I? It's been a while since I've seen it.
You said put Urosh on Vescovi's shoulders.
No, I said that right. That's what I meant. You heard right.
Why would you not put Vescovi on Urosh's shoulders?
Because I'm being silly, Davey. It's a joke, not necessarily a funny one. Just chuckle and let's move on. Wes in Franklin is next on Voluntary Reaction. What's up, Wes?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I tell you, I'm a little shocked here, but this is one of those rare moments that I got to agree with Russell's Shit for Brains windbag co-host on the Hoosiers versus Miracle. It's not even close.
What just happened?
I mean, Miracle.
Look, you know what they say about opinions, Wes.
And I'm sorry, did you say that Bear and Davey were bigots against Russians? Is that what you said?
No, I said that Bear is a bigot for bringing race into the Hoosiers. He said, who cares about a bunch of white kids in Indiana? I am deeply, as a white kid, very offended. I'm hurt, and my feelings matter.
Okay, well, I misheard there. I was going to say, if asking the people are bigoted against the commie Ruskie, guilty as charged. I work with some dingbat Russian nurse, and she wouldn't even speak anti-vaxxer, wouldn't get the COVID vaccine. She says she's waiting on Mother Russia to come out with the COVID vaccine. I said, what the hell is a Russian COVID vaccine? I imagine it probably smells like a combo of vodka, cigarettes, and Polo cologne. Have a great one, guys.
What the hell did he call me? Your Shit for Brains.
Windbag co-host. Something like that, yeah.
That guy got an asshole.
He's agreeing with you.
Yeah, but he's got to slap me on the way in the door. Just slaps me across the damn face as he's coming up to, get into it with you. I mean, hell, I didn't do anything. He was agreeing with me. That guy's a clown, man. Total clown.
Let's talk to Aaron next. What's up, Aaron? You're on the G3 Help Me Hotline.
Hey, so first of all, with Miracle, here's the thing about Miracle. I actually had a family member that was on the casting crew. They actually made the actors who played the hockey players have a hockey tryout to make sure that their skills were somewhat Hollywood, you know, above Hollywood standards. I mean, we've all seen movies where you see people, actors, who just, they don't look the part. So that was a great thing. And another thing is, one of the actors actually played his own dad in the movie. And then, unfortunately, just yesterday, we lost one of the heroes from that team, Mark Pavlich. He was found dead yesterday. So I don't know if that's a name that you know or not. But I mean, that's a movie where they actually built it from the ground up. The only actor who did not have to have any hockey skills was the goalie who played Jim Craig, because they actually, you know, he wears a mask, so they have a stunt double for him the whole time.
You know, it was funny. I was watching the credits of that movie, you know, where they're doing the National Lampoon's thing where they show the guy, like, what he went on to do afterwards.
Yeah.
And all those dudes are in finance or commercial real estate. So all those dudes are millionaires, right? And then there's like one guy, and they're like, he's kind of a fuck up. He's going to community college at the age of 52. He's trying to find himself. I was like, man, they did this guy wrong. Now, putting his personal life out there like that. Just leave me alone. Just say, just make something up for me.
Yeah, and then also, I want to do a mea culpa on John Fulkerson, because I've not been his biggest fan recently, but at the same time, dude, if you would have taken that guy out today and cut his wrist open, they would have bled orange. This guy gave his all for this school.
Yeah, man. It sucks that whatever happened this year happened, and that he was unable to put together the kind of senior season we were all hoping for. But at least he was able to turn back the clock tonight and get one last win over the Gators in Thompson Bowling, and we'll see what happens. It seems like there's some feeling that he might be done here, but we'll find out.
For us as older people to remember, these are freaking 18, 19, 20, you know, 20, you know, I mean, they're kids. They're still finding themselves. I mean, when I was 25, God knows what I was doing. I mean, I wasn't playing, you know, in the SEC on national television. So, you know, to hold into the standards that, you know, someone sitting on the couch thinks that they should be held to is just, I mean, and I've, you know, having kids that are older now that are starting to play sports, I kind of get that.
I felt that, Aaron. I felt that, man. That's good stuff. We're so hard on these kids, talking about how why didn't you go up for that block, Folky? As we sit in our recliner with potato chips on our shirt, a warm beer on the coaster next to us. So easy. Everybody's a critic.
Do you drink your beer warm, Russell?
No, but it's, you know, after you're on your third or fourth and you kind of let it sit there for a while, and then you have to make that decision. Am I just going to power through this and drink the rest of this beer, even though it's not as cold as I like, or should I just go to the fridge and start a new one? Those are the kind of things we're thinking about while these dudes are out there hustling, busting their asses, while we criticize them.
Yeah, and, you know, and some aren't as invested in the program as others, but I dare one person tell me that John Fulkerson was not bleeding orange when he was here.
You think he wasn't bleeding orange here?
No, I dare someone to tell me that he wasn't.
I
know he was. I mean, that guy cared more than a lot of players that we've had in the past.
That's good. Who loved being a Vol as much or more than John Fulkerson? I mean, we've had some guys that definitely like connected with the fan base through the years, but man, he might be number one.
Yeah.
I mean, the number one ever, of course, I know, and Bear's going to flip out, is Philip Fulmer. The guy, I mean, he's, yeah, but.
What? I mean, what the hell did you just say?
Who loved being a Vol more than Fulmer, Bear?
Fucking King Johnny.
Ooh, it's pretty good. Well, it's pretty good, Aaron.
That was before my time.
Aaron, good stuff. You might have given us some show material. I'm writing this down for
Fulmer
for
loved it. Week. Wallet getting fatter.
Anything else?
It's fatter. Fulmer Aaron? Is wallet.
Well, no, but oh, yeah, I mean, I will watch Miracle all day long. Hoosiers, yeah, it's one of those movies you can watch once or twice, and I'm kind of done with it.
I've never seen it. Never will.
I feel the exact opposite. Aaron, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right.
Who loved being a basketball Vol more than John Fulkerson? I mean, you have to go back to like A.W. Davis or somebody back in the short.
Yeah, you ain't got to go back that far. Ronnie Slay.
Ron, you think Slay liked being a baller Vol more than Fulky?
I think that it would be a toss up.
Where was Slay from the mid state? Where was he from? Was he from Virginia?
Mid state. No, he's from mid state.
What about Juwan Smith? I mean, the guy walked on here and then ended up getting on scholarship, was a part of the run that really helped put Tennessee basketball on the map.
It's a good one. Good one.
I don't know. I mean, have you seen Ron broadcast like his Periscope or his videos from his basement? I mean, he's got like one of the, you know, he's like total Tennessee redneck Vol man cave. Like full blown. A lot of pictures of himself too. Ron likes him, Ron.
Yeah, that's kind of why I could see Slay being Slay just about anywhere he went, right?
I don't know, man. You put that much orange in a big room in your house. I mean, it's Ron Slay, man. I don't know. When you get into that, I mean, it's hard to know. Baller Vols. I mean, there's been a ton of them. It means a lot to those guys. I mean, Admiral Schofield, Grant Williams. I mean, just if you're talking about recently, those guys all love playing for Tennessee.
Fulkerson, according to Trey Wallace, not sure who he's with, huh?
Trey.
Young up-and-comer.
Name sounds familiar.
At that moment, I kind of realized I was playing my last game at TBA and in front of the fans. It brought back so many memories of success we've had and how much I've grown off the court. Sounds like he might be done.
Yeah. Remember the first time I saw him over at Rocky Top League, I told I was standing next to Coach Hutchins over there, Catholic at his gym. I was like, that guy's never going to help us a bit. And he looked at me and, said that I was, in no uncertain terms, a complete basketball idiot. And that he kind of felt like that kid would be a big-time contributor. So I guess that's why I just talk about it on the radio. And Coach Hutchins is a, pretty well-noted coach.
When do they play today, Bear?
Oh, they don't. They got knocked out in the semifinals by a really good NBA team. They played probably the worst quarter of basketball, actually half probably, in the most important game, and they got sent home. So,
Lang Wiseman and Stevie Hamer.
Stevie Hamer's a good
one. Those guys loved being Vols.
I don't want to sound like a young millennial, but I don't think I've ever heard of either of those people's names.
Now, you will stop right the fuck now, and you will put some respect on the name of one Steve Hamer.
I'm not trying to be an asshole. I'm just...
Oh, you kind of are.
Played for the Celtics, man.
You kind of are being an asshole, Davey. That's what we're trying to tell you. Lang Wiseman is like the governor's right-hand man right now. He's on the board of trustees. He wields...
you might want to do some homework, Davey. You might want to read up. Might want to read up. Just saying.
Stevie Hamer played here, had a short career with the Celtics, had some pretty serious knee issues, is on the SEC Network, and luckily for me and Russ, is a somewhat frequent guest on the drive, and one of, without a doubt, I'm not talking about former, but he is one of the nicest human beings I've ever met in my life.
Well, I'm not going to dispute anything you guys are saying. I'm just letting you know,
He
played from 92 to 96. Okay, I was born in 94.
You might want to do your homework since you're on the air with a couple of big basketball brains like me and Russ.
Steve was also a key cog in our 5-22 team, Wade Houston's final year, one of the worst teams to ever suit up in the Southeastern Conference.
You gotta get Stevie back on with us.
You had Ed Gray, LaMarcus Golden in the backcourt, Cortez Barnes, and Shun Sheffield getting it done down low.
I wonder what happened to that guy. Sheffield, I hadn't thought about him in like 25 years.
But that team didn't lose by 60 points to Kentucky like the previous year's team did. Allen Houston and Klang Wiseman walking off the court at Corrupt Arena for the last time as the snow began.
Did you just call him Klang?
Yes, I did. As the snow began to fall, the blizzard of 93, the last images we had of Allen Houston walking off the court as a 101-40 loser against Kentucky. Oh, my God. What an era. TJ the Kentucky fan is next. What's up, TJ?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Drinking some beer, and I've got the pre-race on. Y'all like NASCAR?
I do.
Meh.
Russell likes the wrecks.
I quit paying attention after Gordon retired.
Yeah, I was a Gordon guy, too, but I like this Chase Elliott kid, Bill Elliott's son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another Hendrick guy.
Go to hell. He's a Georgia fan.
No, I mean, he took Gordon's spot, so I still kind of – I pull for Hendrick.
Guys, it's March time now. Everybody's 0-0, and you got your seedings, and the real season begins next week, don't it?
How about that? Your Kentucky Wildcats, the Mildcats, taking on Mississippi State. Winner – gets pummeled by Alabama on Friday. Be honest, TJ. Do you even really want to win? Wouldn't you rather bow out meekly against Ben Howland at 11 a.m. Central Time on Thursday than suffer the indignation of getting trounced by Bama by about 30 points? Wouldn't you rather just go ahead and take your medicine Thursday?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know if we'll be able to do it, but 2014,
don't do it.
We were an 8 seed.
Don't do it.
We went
TJ.
All the way. No, I'm not doing anything. I'm too drunk to hit y'all below the belt today. 2014, we were an 8 seed and we met UConn in the national championship. They were a 7th or a 9th seed. So I'm not saying it's going to happen. But it's happened before. It's March. Anything can happen, man.
TJ, you know what Alabama's going to do? Because I do think Kentucky will beat Mississippi State. But you know what Alabama's going to do to you guys on Friday?
Are they going to bend us over and show us the state?
They're going to send you back to the coal mine. Back to the coal mine, yokel. Get back in there.
Hey, y'all have a good day, man. Good luck. Good luck through the tournament, guys.
Enjoy the race, buddy. Thank you. TJ, he's a good sport. Kentucky, any chance against Alabama before us?
Yeah.
Whenever
you're talking, they haven't really put it together, but anytime you have talent, there's a chance if you're firing on all cylinders, it's possible. I mean, we always say this is March for a reason.
Who would you rather play if we're fortunate enough to beat Florida again on Thursday? Who would you rather play on Friday, Alabama or Kentucky?
Kentucky, hands down. I don't even have to think about it.
I don't know if my soul can handle losing to Kentucky in the SEC tournament.
I get it, but if Kentucky beats Alabama, that means they'd have to play at least two, possibly three good games in a row.
Good point.
In a row, and I just don't see that happening with this team for Kentucky.
Good point. It's a good point. +865-546-8200. Turning into another pretty decent edition of Voluntary Reaction, gentlemen. I feel like we've put in some good work today on a Sunday. We should get overtime.
Absolutely.
Or get off Friday. Or get off Friday. Would you rather have overtime or just get off on Friday, Russell?
It's a good question. Why can't I have both? Why can't I have my cake and eat it too? Want what I want, and I want it now. Steven, you're up next on Voluntary Reaction. Go ahead, Steven.
Back to the coal mine.
Back to the coal mine.
How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. I just started listening. Who was talking about Lang Wiseman? What for?
Russell called him Clang.
Whoa, Russell. Look, I went to church with Lang growing up, and every year at church camp, he wasn't clanging much on those boards outside. He would dominate the kids. I don't know what we know about college, though.
Wait, you're gonna tell me that a former SEC point guard tore up his local church league? No.
Hey, you got to respect it, Russ. You got to respect it.
I do respect it. I love Lang Wiseman.
All right. Hey, Bear, when are you getting back in the studio?
It's kind of up in the air right now.
Okay. Well, look, if I was Nate Hodges, I would pay you guys overtime every day. I appreciate you guys. See ya.
Thank you, Steven. You hear that, Hodges? You start taking care of us. We're about to unionize, the Voluntary Reaction Union. Be on strike out there marching around the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios with little cardboard signs and everything. Should be an interesting week, gentlemen. The stupid freaking SEC tournament. God, I hate it. I mean, why do we play this thing? Who cares? Other than a bunch of toothless Kentucky fans, who gives a damn about the SEC tournament? So sick of it. Such a pointless event.
Torments you, doesn't it, Russ?
I'd much rather take the week off, let these guys get off their legs a little bit, get some treatment, get the bumps and bruises healed up a little bit, and maybe get some mojo for the big dance. That's what I want. All right, gentlemen. I will take it by your silence that you two have had enough.
Sorry, yeah. I was doing a deep dive. You used the expression, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But I was actually watching a video on Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, and one of the things in which FBI agent Fitzgerald was able to track him down was because of the phrasing there. Obviously, Kaczynski, a very intelligent human being, but the right phrase just for wording is like, we always say you can't eat your cake and have it too, but the actual expression was you can't have, wait, let me make sure I get this right. You can't. Mother, I lost it.
Hell, are you talking about Hudson?
Yeah, I know. I kind of.
Have you been drinking again?
Yeah, I have, but that doesn't. Let me find the right phrasing. I don't know. We always say the expression wrong. When you say you can't have your cake and eat it too, that's incorrect based off the usual expression. Something about you can't have your cake. I don't fucking know. Who cares? Just you finish off. I'm gonna go back to my drink. I'm gonna go back to my drink, and I'll figure out.
No, I think that's a perfect place to end it. I don't think we need final thoughts. I think we just end it right there. Davey.
God almighty.
Incoherent story about Ted Kaczynski and cake. I always thought it had something to do with like Marie Antoinette or something. Which she said, let them eat cake.
Mm-hmm.
All these sayings about cake.
I don't even like cake.
Of course you don't.
Guys, I used to like that, that cake you get at the school cafeteria.
The little squares?
Yeah.
Like the hard chocolate frosting on top of it?
Sure.
It's been sitting out for 2 days?
Why not? With a nice cold half pint of flavor-rich milk.
Ugh, the carton?
Yeah, yeah.
Milk was always awful.
Oh, Kaczynski said you can't eat your cake and have it too. It's just vice versa from how we usually say it.
The conversation how?
Russell used the expression, but he used it wrong because apparently Kaczynski uses it right, and we've just changed it based off of overtime.
No, that's not true.
It made Davey, I used the phrase, and it made Davey think about the Unabomber. What's so weird about that, Bear?
Davey's a strange dude, Russ.
Where does the Unabomber rank on your list of all-time terrorists?
Ah, he's not even top 20.
Just domestic. Oh, come on. He's top 20.
I'd put him down around, 10.
That guy, they pinned it on Richard Jewell, the 96 Olympic bomber. Oh. That dude was like living in the woods in North Carolina, eating worms.
Yeah. And that's,
Eric something.
Eric Rudolph.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that
a bunch of abortion clinics, didn't he?
Yeah. So there's actually a really good. I don't know how to detail wise they did a good job of it, but Netflix put out two shows called Manhunt. One of them, the first season, is about the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. The second season is about Richard Jewell and Eric Rudolph.
I thought you were talking about they had another show called Mindhunter.
No. So that's actually
about the behavioral division at Quantico.
So
it started.
That was a show that derived itself from basically going and interviewing serial killers and figuring out the, as you said, Bear, the behavioral psychology behind these people, why they think like this, and then try to learn from it. I actually know an former FBI agent who was put into that program very early on, and some of the stuff he has told me based off of a former show I was working on and trying to learn, like, it is fascinating, absolutely fascinating, the stuff that they have gained from these former serial killers by talking with them and trying to learn.
That's freaky as hell. The Cubs mom had that's what she was going to do when we met, and that was kind of a deal breaker for me.
What, you wouldn't want to be married to some FBI badass?
I didn't want to be married. Not about FBI badass. I just didn't want to, have a family member that would come into contact with people like that.
It's kind of weird.
Why is that weird?
Because she wouldn't be a serial killer. She'd be trying to do good in the world, trying to prevent serial killers, trying to catch serial killers. It's not like she herself would become the serial killer. What do you think?
No, like, I mean, I realize that, you complete horse's ass. I just told her it didn't sound like a very safe job to me. Why would you want to interact? You don't want any serial killers knowing who you are at all. You don't want those guys to come, become fixated with your wife. The hell out of here, Smith. Wake up one night and Ted Kaczynski sitting in my bedroom, or,
I don't think that's how he did it.
He just didn't be
bailed. Open your mailbox and a pipe bomb would blow your torso apart.
Yeah. The FBI didn't even catch him. His brother turned him in.
David Kaczynski.
5-0 in the fifth inning.
Who's your favorite serial killer?
Ass, Georgia State. Losers.
6-0 now in the bottom of the sixth as Rucker drives in his fourth run of the game with a bases loaded walk. Get some.
Rucker. Is he related to Wesley?
I don't know.
Oh.
How'd your Man City boys do in the Manchester Derby today, Bear?
Go fuck yourself, Russ.
Oh.
Not you too lost good.
2-0 to Man United. I can't relate.
Yeah. Yeah, our winning streak is over. That's all right. It's okay. I did learn something about my favorite band, Oasis, though. Bonehead, rhythm guitar player, big Man U fan, refused to be in any of the, you know, they did those two legendary shows at Main Road and refused to take part in any of the promotional photos because he refused to be photographed wearing any Man City gear or looking comfortable in a Man City stadium. They take their soccer pretty damn serious over there.
Define legendary.
Legendary? I don't know. Two nights, 100,000 people plus going crazy. Pretty damn legendary in your hometown. I mean, who out of Knoxville can do that? Kenny Chesney? They auto-tune him live. He sucks. He didn't even plug his guitar in. That guy can't carry a tune. Trey Wallace is a better singer than Kenny Chesney.
How about this stat from Billy Stats?
Wee Willie Williford. What's he got?
Alabama could play Kentucky in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament this week. The last time Alabama beat Kentucky in March was March 11th, 1983.
Whew.
The Tide are 0-14 in their last 14 games against Kentucky in March.
I didn't have a learner's permit. I was still having to bum rides off my mom or my older sister at that time. It's a long damn time ago. I'm an old dude.
I was in preschool in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Is that when that picture was taken? The one where, you know the picture I'm talking about. The one where Cody says it looks like you shit your pants and you're afraid to tell the teacher?
I think I would just tell the teacher. I don't know. You shit your pants. In school, I don't know. What do you do if you shit your pants in school? You just get up and leave, right? You don't ask. You just do it. Excuse me. Teacher, I need to go. What is it, Bear? Well, I shit my pants. Okay.
I never did that.
Okay. Were you a bedwetter, Bear? Be honest.
No.
When was the last time you wet the bed?
Oh, I was never a bedwetter. Nothing like that. Enuresis is what the medical term is called, which is better than
who would know that? You know who would know that?
Somebody that worked in the mental health field right after college and wrote at a psychiatric hospital and wrote in charts. Enuresis and I can never pronounce it even back then. Incapresis, basically where you shit the bed. So.
Any thoughts on bedwetting or shitting the bed, Bear, Davey?
No. I was trying to sober up before I head home.
Well, you might want to take a nap in the football chair out there in the lobby before you do. Either that or call you an Uber.
Good show.
Yeah.
The silence is deafening. Yeah, I got to go, Gus. I got a thing. 3:30.
Well, you go do that thing. I want to go do my thing. Davey, you get home safely, however you do it, bud.
I will.
Love you guys. I guess.
We got a show on Friday, Russ,
I don't know. John has the next voluntary reaction, as far as I know. Unless we have some sort of switcheroo. And then we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I hope we get to do another one.
So we'll do the Saturday one a week or 6 days from now.
I mean, if we win, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
All right, boys. Y'all have a great rest of your Sunday. We will listen for you, Davey, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., bright and early, tuck in your shirt, get to work, do a little three and out. Anybody got any closing thoughts before we get out? No?
Go Vols.
See y'all later. Have a great Sunday. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.